Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
What do you think about the Saints?
That's a good fit.
Round pick. I mean, that could be a good spot for a guy like Sam Darnold.
I think Sam Darnold, he's like Carson Wentz from the standpoint of needs a change of scenery. I think that goes without saying. I think New York, Philly, those markets, man, when it goes bad with the fan base and with the media, it's really, really hard to turn it around. And I think he needs to go somewhere where he's not thrown out there week one on a bad football team and asked to carry him. I think he just needs a little bit of a reset mentally, physically, you know, geographically, all of that. So, yeah, I think those kind of spots would make some sense. I actually think he's a decent player. It's certain teams that if you go there and you fail, or you don't maybe live, I don't know that he failed, but he didn't live up to expectations. Third pick in the draft. I think they're expecting him to be carrying him to the playoffs by now. But if there are certain teams, if you go there and it doesn't work out, you almost get a little bit of a pass. And the Jets are that kind of team, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I really liked Sam Darnold coming out. I mean, I did.
Me too.
I really liked him. Obviously, it hasn't been good enough, but you look at his situation there. Like you said, certain teams, you get a pass. It used to be Cleveland, right? The Jets.
Yep.
But you look, it wasn't ideal for him. You know, switch coaches, switch general managers, got new offense, a whole new offensive line this past year. It's tough. It's tough, especially when you start off the way that he started off. But I think you're right. He just needs a change of scenery, and the Jets need a new, fresh start there. And but it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with him, what they do with him.
Yeah, I mean, he just didn't have much talent around him. I mean, he's handing the ball off to Frank Gore, for crying out loud.
Oh.
I mean, you know, I think Frank was in the first wave to get the COVID vaccine he sold. Like, it's just, I mean, come on. You mentioned that Chris Sims has been spot on with his list. And I believe the year, the Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold year, I think he had Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson atop his list.
He had Lamar 1, and I think Josh 2, and then he switched them, I believe, because people were going crazy. And so he was like, so he switched them, and I think he flip-flopped them.
But he pretty much nailed it, right?
Like, yeah, sure. I mean, either one of those guys.
Yeah, one's won an MVP, right. And Josh Allen has taken Buffalo to something, to a place in terms of division title in the playoffs that they hadn't been in 25 years. So
yep.
He nailed it. Interesting, though, not just that Zach Wilson was atop his list. Let me give you his top six and see what you think. So he's got Zach Wilson 1. Trevor Lawrence 2, Mac Jones 3, Kellen Mond from Texas A&M 4, Justin Fields 5, Trey Lance 6. That's as high as I've seen Mac Jones. I have not seen Mac Jones ahead of Justin Fields. I haven't seen him very much ahead of Trey Lance. Mac Jones 3. When you look at what everybody's going to say, well, he had an embarrassment of riches. He's thrown to the Heisman Trophy winner. He's got an offensive line that all five of them are probably going to be playing on Sundays. So I think he gets knocked down a little bit. Are people passing on a guy who had a lot of success and, is a really good leader because he's got the Alabama stigma, which kind of makes him think, yeah, he's just a system guy. He's just another one of these quarterbacks that was surrounded by a ton of talent, and that's why he won.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It really is because they do have the most talent. And like you said, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. When you look at their offensive line, it's just unbelievable. You look at their skill position guys, unbelievable. Their running back, unbelievable. I mean, they got it all. So defensively, got it all. I mean, just kind of go do your part, man. I mean, very easy to do. You can turn around and hand the ball off all game and win games that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you got to take that into the evaluation, but you know, we talked about that a little bit a couple months ago, and Zach brought up a good point. Like Joe Burrow had the same thing last year; he had the best offensive line. Look at all those playmakers he had with Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the tight end Moss. I mean, they were loaded everywhere. Their defense was unbelievable. So, same thing could have been said about him. So, yes, you got to take that into the evaluation of the player, but at the same time, it's not the end all be all. You know, you can't knock him too much because he's playing with other good players.
Yeah, and it becomes tricky because it's hard not to think of Mac Jones and see A.J. McCarron.
Right.
It's hard to see Justin Fields and not think Dwayne Haskins, you know.
Who is the one that's on TV, the redhead one from Alabama? He's on TV. He does a good job. Does announcing. Come on.
Boy.
Anybody. Come on.
You say redhead, all I can picture is Andy Dalton.
I know, not that bright. Not
Greg
fire
McElroy.
Ant. Yeah, not fire ant red, but just lighter red.
Is it Greg McElroy?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think that's
all right.
Right.
He's on SEC Network. Is that where he's at now?
Yeah. He does a good job.
Okay.
I think so. I've seen him on ESPN.
I'm going to give John credit. He told me that in my ear. I didn't come up with that.
Yeah, thank you, John. Thank you. Because Zach wouldn't help me out there either. So, but yes, him. So yeah. I mean, that's what you think about, though, right?
Sure.
You know, your prototypical
system guy,
6'2" quarterback. Yeah,
but I think that becomes dangerous
quarterback
because we heard the same thing about Big 12 quarterbacks, right?
That's
like, don't take Patrick Mahomes, don't take Baker Mayfield. Well, those two guys, Kyler Murray, like, you know, if you'd applied that same logic, you'd have missed on those three guys. And, you know, one of them's won a Super Bowl, won an MVP. The other two have, you know, shown flashes for sure. So I think it's dangerous to fall into that. But
you can't. You can't do that.
Mac Jones being third, I thought was interesting. Trey Lance, I think, is the biggest mystery. Because what, did he play one game this past year because it was such a weird season due to COVID? Now I think
their whole team opted out.
Yeah. But he's a guy that has a ton of ability. Played at a small school. He's someone I think will be there at 9. So if George Payton wants to take a, you know, swing for the fences,
I would love it.
To me, Trey Lance is that guy because he has a chance to be great, or he could be a total flop and just not capable of playing at this level.
Right. So let's gamble.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're scared, say you're scared. Let's go for it. I mean, this is the time to do it. Your first year, swing for the fence. If you miss, you got time to recover.
It's his audit year anyway, right? It's his audit year anyway.
That's right. If you do it year three, you know, you don't have time to recover. You know, you're probably fired after year four or five. So swing for the fence. Now, the one that really sticks out to me is number four, Kellen Mond from Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And I've liked that guy because I've watched him play in the SEC. Very mobile guy, can run. He's long and athletic. I was like, maybe this guy might be a good pick in the second round, but because you look at his intangibles and being able to keep plays alive and do those things, and maybe his game just transfers over to the NFL game. But he's one of those guys that's very intriguing because of how athletic he is and the things that he can do to extend plays and keep plays alive, and, you know, strong arm type of guy. That's why, you know. And played in the SEC. So, and they had a great year this year. They had a great year at Texas A&M this year. So he's the intriguing one. And for Sims to have him that high, for me, I haven't seen anybody else have him that high. I've seen second round grades on Kellen Mond, not fourth best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, you're right. I've seen nobody else put him ahead of Justin Fields. Nobody else put him ahead of Trey Lance. So that is interesting. And he is a guy that, you know, look, I know A&M gets a lot of talent. But really, since Johnny Football was there, they weren't in national championship kind of conversations. And they certainly were this year. They were a top 10 team all year, top five for a while. So he definitely lifted them. One guy that did not make Chris Sims' top six that I think is interesting, Florida quarterback Kyle Trask. Some people have said he's a first round talent. We've talked about him, and there was an article that Nate Jackson wrote for the website this week at DenverFan.com where that's who he wants the Broncos to take, not in the first round, but in a later round to kind of build out that quarterback room. Man, maybe it's just the bowl game where he got benched that I can't get out of my head. Kyle Trask he does not do much for me.
Who
did
they play in that game?
He was
awful.
He was terrible.
He was awful, awful, super duper awful. I mean, I hadn't watched Florida play a lot. Okay, I watched him play against LSU at the end of the year there, and they lost that game at home against LSU. A game that
was the shoe throwing game, right?
Yeah.
The guy threw the shoe at the end, just keep the drive alive. Yeah,
cost me in a couple of different ways, but thank
you and me both.
Yeah,
you and me both.
I was on that money line and just praying that that guy would make a 65-yarder to tie the game or whatever it was right at the end. And of course, it didn't happen. But how do you lose to LSU, who was depleted and playing for nothing, and you're playing for everything at home? And then you watch the bowl game. And James, that was some of the worst quarterback play I've ever seen. And this guy couldn't throw the ball anywhere. And I said, oh, my goodness. No, thank you. But thank you, though. I'm out on this trash kid. I mean, I wouldn't draft him at all in the seventh round. I'm out. No.
I'm with you. I can't get that game out of my head. It was against Oklahoma. I think he completed more passes to Sooners than Gators at one point in that game. It was ugly. So, interesting, though. Chris Sims, like you say.
And look, wait, just real quick. You can have bad games.
Sure.
You can have bad games. But, man, you can kind of see when it looked like he's guiding the ball when he throws it. I mean, there's no, like, confidence with his throwing. It just looked really weird. And everything was, like, real mechanical and just not fluid. And it just, like, whoa, it really stood out to me. I thought he was injured or something. Like, something wrong with this guy. So, Kyle Trask, no thank you. I'm out on him.
Yeah, I am right there with you. He reminds me a little bit, man, and I am just blanking on names today, the Georgia quarterback who wound up getting drafted by the Bills, and he was like their
Fromm?
Yes, exactly. He's Jake Fromm to me.
Okay.
That's who Kyle Trask is, and so I'm going to take a big no thank you on Kyle Trask. So, interesting list, though, from Chris Sims. Like you said, he has been on it the last few years. Zach Wilson atop the list. Trevor Lawrence 2, Mac Jones 3, Kellerman 4, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. A very interesting top six. I think our dream of the Broncos getting Zach Wilson, I think that's getting, that's becoming more and more of a long shot with each passing day. I think he's going number 2 to the Jets. I think it would take a king's ransom at this point to pry that pick away from New York.
Yeah, I mean, why? I mean, they got picks, you know, so why do they want more picks? They need players now. You got Robert Saleh there, first time head coach, and you know it's time to start accumulating players and using those picks. You don't want to keep throwing those things down the road. The general manager needs a win here soon, or he's gone. So obviously you need to upgrade the quarterback position. I don't think they can pass that opportunity up of taking a quarterback. You just can't do it. So. Yeah, I mean, that's you know, who's going to be taking number 2 now. It's going to be Zach Wilson. And the highest that you could probably move up if you're George Payton is 3.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the quarterbacks that are left, is any of them worth moving up to 3 to go get?
No, and I think when you look at them, you know, if Mac Jones is 3rd on Chris Sims' list and Justin Fields is 3rd on most people's list, Trey Lance maybe on some of them, like, well, one of them probably will fall to 9.
Right.
So you could probably just sit there and take whichever one is still on the board. Not that
especially if you don't love one.
Yeah.
Right? And look, I don't think this guy's going to be, you know, the next whoever, Aaron Rodgers type of quarterback. So we'll stay here. If he falls to us, we really like him. You know, we like him. We just don't really, you know, love him enough to move up. And we think he might fall. So let's just be patient here and see how this thing plays out. And if he's gone, he's gone. Then you move on and you draft yourself a cornerback. I think that's probably what will happen here. Or you move back. You know, you might move back even further. And maybe you like a Kellen Mond and that you can pick up in the 20s or something like, or Trey Lance or somebody like that you think that might fall. You also can operate like that. But once Zach Wilson is gone at 2, to me, it's probably party over for the Broncos as far as moving up and getting a quarterback.
Yeah, and to me, and maybe Mac Jones falls into this category, Stoke, but I think if you're going to draft a quarterback, you have to draft a guy that everybody knows, yep, he's the future. He's the guy, he's the quarterback of the future for the next 10 years. He's the franchise guy. Like so to me, that's Trevor Lawrence, obviously. It's Zach Wilson. I think Justin Fields probably is in that category. Trey Lance is probably in that category. Like, to me, Mac Jones, Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask.
Why do you have to do that?
You're going to draft a guy and he's going to come in here and he may or may not beat out Drew Locke. Like,
well, I mean, you're always.
And just
when you're holding
what you got.
Hope, well, I mean, Seattle could have stuck with what they had in Matt Flynn. They just paid him, but they drafted the guy in the second round. And their radio people over there, Brock Heward was probably on the radio there ripping Seattle for taking Russell Wilson.
Well, and I'm talking like, I'm talking first round. Like, if you're going to take a quarterback
first or
first
second,
round,
you
he's
might take Kellen Mond in the second round. And that it might be that type of situation where we like this guy. We think he has potential. Let's just go ahead and grab this guy in the second round. I mean, that could be a real possibility also. So I don't want to just pigeonhole the Broncos and say, you know, if you draft a guy, that's got to be your guy. Let's not operate like that, because weird things happen, different things happen, and you don't know how things are going to play out. So you might move back and get a guy late first round. You might stay at 9 and get him. That guy might start game 1. Maybe he doesn't start till game 5. You might draft a guy in the second round and he starts, the opener. Who knows how it's going to play out? So we've seen it. We've seen it all. And we've seen it all happen and be successful different ways. And there's not just one blueprint.
But am I the only one who remembers how frustrating these training camps have been in the last 4 or 5 years?
I've enjoyed them. I mean, I've enjoyed the training camps, actually.
You enjoyed Trevor versus Paxton?
Well, I just enjoyed being out there.
Well,
did I enjoy that? Yeah, it gave us a lot of great content to talk about. I mean, it was a lot of fun to talk about. Yes, I mean, would I prefer Peyton Manning? Absolutely, that type of quarterback. But, you know, if you don't have one of those, then give me some kind of drama and some kind of storyline. Give me some competition. Who's it going to be? Give me a young quarterback. Right? Give me a Paxton Lynch. Somebody I can have some excitement about and some buzz about. That's it might be a second round guy. I mean, I keep on saying Russell Wilson, but, you know, when was Russell drafted?
He was a third round pick,
right.
In 2012.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, it might be a second, third round. I mean, who knows where it might come from and what pick it might have, that might be. And you just don't know how it's going to play out. So that's why I don't want to say, well, don't even go down that road if it's not going to be your starter.
Remember the Drew Lock rookie camp, and he's taken third team reps.
Yeah.
And we're having to watch Joe Flacco.
Oh, and who was the other guy?
Oh, gosh.
Who was the other guy?
And we sat there every single day just pulling our hair out going, what are we doing? Like, why is Drew Lock not at least taking the number two reps? At that point, because Joe Flacco didn't actually have to move around because you couldn't touch him in training camp, we weren't quite sure yet at that point that he couldn't play. But that's the situation I think this team needs to avoid, Stoke, where they bring in a guy and, you know, it's Kellen Mond and he's taking third team reps and, you know, for whatever reason, Vic's just stubbornly insisting Brett Rippon's the backup because he's been here for a while. Like, just pick a guy. He's out there with the ones. He's taken the vast majority of the reps. He's in the HOV lane to be in the starter, and you just move on. Like, I want a definitive answer at that position.
Sure.
As opposed to this, like, well, let's just see.
That's ideal.
Let's go compete.
That's ideal, right? I mean, and you want ideal. But sometimes, you know, this world is, sometimes plays silly games with us. And football's not always perfect in how we plan it out and how we want it to be. Sometimes things happen. And but that year was odd with Drew Lock, you know, taking those third-string reps. But they did that, James. You know why they did that? They did that because they didn't want any more conversations about Drew overtaking Joe Flacco. They wanted that story to be put to the back burner. That's why they kept Drew on the back burner, because
it was all about
Joe Flacco, Joe Flacco, Joe Flacco. They were hoping Joe would be here for a couple of years. Drew was an afterthought. He was a second-round pick that they liked, and they got in the second round. It's all good. But in order to win football games right away, they knew that wasn't Drew, and that's why at that time that they were having him take third-string reps, fourth-string reps. Who was that quarterback? Please, somebody. The quarterback that was in camp that year.
It was Flacco, some guy, Drew Lock, and then Brett Rippon. And the some guy, like, we would sit there and watch it, and he'd like, you know, couldn't complete passes. He would try and throw an out route, and it would get picked off. Like, it was so painfully obvious that Drew Lock, even as a rookie, was so much better.
Kevin Hogan.
Thank you.
I just pulled it up on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Yes.
Brent from Golden, thank you. Stanford's finest, Kevin Hogan.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody could just tell was a complete and utter waste of time.
Yeah.
When he got in
game. Hyping him up.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
doing what he does.
And you're right. Like, part of that was because they didn't want to put the pressure on Drew Lock as a rookie. They didn't want to have the quarterback battle again, right? I think they had just come through the Simeon and Paxton Lynch thing and didn't want to go down that path again. Plus, it's Vic Fangio's first year. You don't want to put him in the mix of, like, he's having to answer, you know, quarterback battle questions all the time, every day during training camp his first year out. There were a lot of reasons to not go down that path. But it's just, it's a team that has not had the guy. Last year was the first year. I mean, I guess Flacco, I guess heading into that year was the guy. But last year was one of the rare years since Peyton left where we knew who the starter was going to be heading into training camp. It didn't end up helping him out because of all the other things they had going against him and, you know, new offensive coordinator, no preseason, no OTAs, all that kind of stuff. But, man, I'm gun shy, Stoke.
I hear you. But look, if you don't have one, you know, you can't have a specific plan that you have to stick to. Right, things just happen sometimes. You have to be open and receptive to new ideas, different ideas. We got to find a stinking quarterback. I don't care how we find them. We got to find one. And if you narrow your focus and be narrow-minded where it's got to be this way or we can't go down that road, we can't look at here, we can't explore here, we don't want competition. We can't draft a quarterback in the 20s. Third-round guys aren't any good. I mean, if you go down that road, you're never going to find one. So you have to be open, you have to be receptive, and you have to maybe try some different things because you've got to try to find a quarterback, and you can't be narrow-minded and have to have one way to do it when you're looking for a quarterback because it's such a difficult thing to do. It's not easy. It's very hard. But you have to be open and receptive to different ideas and different ways to find that guy.
I'm with you. I don't want to be narrow-minded. And
well, it sure sounds like it, James. It really does.
You certainly
really
want to.
You're disappointing me a little bit right
no,
now.
No, no,
come on.
No,
let's
no.
Go.
You want to look under every rock and all that stuff. I get it. I guess I'm just playing the odds, right? So what are the odds that someone like Kyle Trask or Kellen Mond is any better at this level than Drew Lock? I don't think they're better than 50-50. So I think what you end up doing then, if you bring in a guy like that and you're not quite sure who your quarterback's going to be and they're splitting reps, I think you end up stunting the growth of both guys. I don't think Drew Lock turns into as good a quarterback as he could, and I don't think Kellen Mond or Mac Jones or
Kyle
Trask
split reps. Maybe you don't split reps. Maybe it's just Drew Lock, and this other guy's just taking second-team reps, and like Russell Wilson was. I mean, that's the one I keep going to because that's it. I mean, Matt Flynn was paid to be the starter. Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. There wasn't really a competition going on until, obviously, there was, and Matt Flynn found out really quickly he wasn't a starter anymore. And that's just the way it happened. So it's not ideal, but look, it worked out for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Why couldn't a situation like that work out for the Denver Broncos? I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying the odds are very high that it does. The odds are already not in your favor to find a quarterback to begin with. It's just the way it works. It's hard to find the guy, but you have to be open to doing different things and evaluating quarterbacks, and sometimes it might just have to be a competition. Does it normally work? No. I'd say no, it doesn't, but if that's your situation, hopefully it works out for you.
I just want the surefire definitive answer. I'm tired
well,
of being
then,
no
well, then
plan.
Let's get the number one pick. Let's get the number one pick or number two pick. If you don't have those, then you got to do things maybe a little bit unorthodox and hope that they work out.
The blockbuster pick, that's what it would take now to get Zach Wilson because he is moving up boards. Chris Sims has him number one ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Amazing how things change. I think he's now, too expensive. It's too costly. I think he's out of the Broncos realm. Speaking of blockbuster trades, when it comes to the Nuggets, a national voice is calling for Denver to make a monster move.
Oh,
we'll talk about that coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
A little bit of breaking news. Adam Schefter just posted this on Twitter. No charges will be brought against Broncos linebacker Von Miller in regards to the ongoing investigation by the Parker Police Department, per source. Miller's attorney, Harvey Steinberg, was unavailable for comment. So, Stoke, you mentioned earlier in the show that you've been hearing
what I said.
Yeah, your sources are good. You nailed it.
I told you earlier in the show, possibly today or early next week, you could be hearing about this. And here we go. We heard. So that's kind of what I was feeling and not feeling, but that's what I heard. And now here you go. You see it from Adam Schefter. So,
it certainly clarifies things.
Yes.
It clarifies things for the Broncos, right? So now the decision that they have to make when it comes to Von Miller, not that it's simple, But it's only about football and it's only about money. They don't have to worry about, you know, off the field stuff and legal issues and things that just make, you know, a complicated equation even more difficult. So now it's just about football. It's just about money. I think it does clarify the situation for George Payton and the Broncos.
Yeah, it would have been it would have muddied the waters. It might be a difficult situation for Von and the Broncos to get on the same page. And if you have this hovering over his situation, it makes it that much more difficult to figure it out. So this is clear now. The investigation looks like it's over, done with, and now they can just figure out the football side of it. So it's a good day for Von Miller.
It does bring in the John Clayton idea here. It does bring it into the equation now, where he says, hey, you just pick up the $7 million here at the start of the league year, and then you buy yourself some time to try and work out a new deal or figure something out with Vaughn. You know, essentially, not just like the franchise tag that they just put on Justin Simmons, but kind of, right? You avoid this deadline. You're going to spend $7 million probably on him at least next year. Anyway, you buy yourself some time. That now is at least a possibility, whereas if he had these legal things hovering over his head, you wouldn't take the $7 million gamble. That would be foolish. But if you really do want him back, you do think you can, you know, work out a new deal where it's maybe a 2 or 3 year kind of thing, a J.J. Watt type of contract. Maybe you do just, you know, pick up the option, pay him the $7 million and then work it out between now and camp. I do think that's now a possibility, given the fact that the legal stuff has been cleared up.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good possibility. I don't like that option for the Broncos. I just think that, you know, having him stay under his contract the way it is now is a bad move for the Broncos. I think right now what you try to do is you try to get him extended and, you know, locked up for the next couple years and bring that cap number down this year. And if not, then it might just be best to move on. You're already kind of starting things over and fresh again here with George Payton. So I think you try to, you know, extend Vaughn on a J.J. Watt type of deal, make it a nice contract. You got incentives. You got some more guaranteed money in there. All parties are happy. Hopefully we see, you know, the best version of Von Miller for the next few years, and maybe he retires as a Bronco. But if not, if you can't go down that road, to me it makes no sense just to stay with the 1 year left on his contract and then watch him be a free agent and be able to kind of control what happens. I just don't like that from the Broncos' perspective.
No, I'm with you. That would certainly not be my preference. I just do think it brings it, at least becomes an option. Maybe not a good one, but at least is an option. So anyway, just to reiterate, according to Adam Schefter, there will be no charges filed in Parker against Von Miller based on the legal situation that's been going on for a couple of months here. So no charges filed against Von Miller. All right, so Stoke, the Nuggets, they've won 4 straight. They're 21-15, currently the 6th seed in the West, which would mean they would avoid the play-in situation.
Okay.
Only a couple games back of the Clippers for a top 4 seed, but they're also only 2.5 ahead of Golden State for the 9 seed. So they're kind of right there, you know, in the midst of all the traffic. I would say even with the good finish here, it's been a little bit of a disappointing first half. This is the team that made it to the Western Conference Finals a year ago. I think people expected them to be, you know, right atop the Western Conference again this year. They're not, so therefore people are
more like Utah this year,
right? You know, Utah's
that's what you're looking at. That's what we kind of hoped would be the Nuggets.
Yeah, Utah.
They should be
number
one, a top 3 team right now, if not, you know, kind of the best regular season team, you know, especially in the West.
Figure. Here at the break, the top 2 teams in the West, Utah at 27-9, and Phoenix at 24-11.
Phoenix had that great bubble last year.
They did. They were 8-0 in the bubble.
They picked up Chris Paul, and you got, you know, Booker,
DeAndre Ayton. Yep.
Yeah. So they got some really nice pieces there.
They do.
And then when you add a guy like Chris Paul, now all of a sudden, so yeah. But obviously a big jump from them from last year to this year.
It's amazing what adding pieces to a team does as opposed to just subtracting them. But anyhow. So
who are we talking? Are we talking about Bradley Beal?
So speaking about adding pieces, Paul Pierce said the Nuggets need to make a big move. His suggestion is they need to trade Jamal Murray.
This is a panic button for me. I mean, you talk about a team that was in the conference finals a year ago, and now you have Joker playing at an all-time high level at the center, something we haven't seen in many, many years. You got to be able to keep this guy happy moving forward because, as you know, you start wasting years like this that Joker's having. And the only reason he won't get MVP this year is because their team is not going to be in the top four of the conference. And so if there's a move out there you can make to bolt this team back into the top four, I think you got to do it. And that may mean sacrificing Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray?
What? I mean,
you mean
if
like
you
Michael Porter Jr.?
Listen, if Jamal you could get a bill for Murray, would you do it? I mean, come on, it's something you have to think about because they're not going to just, I mean, he has value, and this is not a knock on Jamal Murray, but, you know, he has value over there.
No, look, the
and Michael Porter Jr., we don't know who he's going to be yet. And so if you want something, you got to give something. If you want to take that next step, it's going to cost you.
Okay, let's do it. I'm in. Would you trade
Jamal Murray for Bradley Beal?
Yeah. Would I?
Woo.
Just straight up?
Well,
are you talking about straight up? I mean, what else do we got to give them?
You'd have to figure out how to make this work, but you would make Jamal Murray a part of a trade for Bradley Beal.
Who wouldn't? I mean, what is Beal averaging a night? I know he plays on a much worse team than the Nuggets, but I mean, this guy's averaging over 30 a night, isn't he? I mean, he's top three in scoring.
He puts up monster numbers. Depending on what you have to give up, but would they be?
You're the guy that's the all-in guy, James.
I know.
I remember, this is my point here, I'm gonna give you credit here, the Rockies, you know, years ago when they're in the playoffs and it was the Dodgers, Rockies right there and there were some moves to be made.
Yep.
And you're bringing up some great points. Make these moves. Don't think about the future. And I was on the other side of things then. And I said, look at this young team. Look at the nucleus that the Rockies have. This team is going to be good for a while. Let's keep this nucleus together and continue to build it the right way. Let's not trade these assets for a rental, right? Well, 3-4 years later, I'm sitting there like, yeah, I was way wrong then. You were spot on. Should have went all in. Now we don't have a window anymore. I mean, I didn't think they would screw up Nolan and all these other guys that have just, you know, no longer available. But certainly when you have that window, sometimes you got to strike. And then also, James, so credit to you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
I remember that. Also here, and it got me really scared and nervous, when Paul Pierce brings up, you know, if Nikola ever gets upset with the situation here.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like that guy, right? I mean, he's all happy and, you know, he just loves playing basketball. He doesn't have to score 30 a night. But all of a sudden, if somebody gets in his ear, his agent, his brother, whoever, and then he starts thinking about things and it's like, man, I'm wasting a lot of good years here and they're not doing anything for me. Why aren't they more aggressive to get me more pieces? I want to win a championship now. It was cool 3 years ago, but now I want to win a championship and be able to compete for those consistently, almost like an Anthony Davis type of deal. I mean, Anthony Davis was fine in New Orleans. Well, next thing you know, he wasn't.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he was traded. So, you know, that scares me. That scares me. So, yes, I'm all in. Make some moves, some splashy moves. Go get some pieces to try to put you over the top. Mortgage the future. I don't care what you have to do. But be aggressive and try to add some pieces to try to get you to that next level. Yes.
I'm with you philosophically. I'm a longtime Nuggets fan, and I'm tired of hearing about, boy, they're going to be good in a couple of years. Like, at some point, the window has to be now, right? And it was the same. The Rockies example is a very good one. That's a team that has never won a division title. You're right there with the Dodgers. They wound up playing 163rd game to decide the National League West, so they tied through the regular season, and they did nothing. Like, you do have to push your chips into the middle of the table at some point. You got to pick your spot and do it. The Rockies should have done it now. Or then, I think the Nuggets need to do it now, but I think it's a matter of, so I'm with you philosophically.
Okay. Uh-huh.
But to me, the two core guys are Jokic and Murray. I think it's you gotta push your chips in and figure out what do you surround those two guys with, because Paul Pierce does make a good point. You are wasting a year of both of those guys, Jokic and Murray, you're wasting a year of their prime. You're wasting.
Well, let's not act like Murray's a top 10 guy. Let's not act like that.
And he's not an all-star yet.
He's not untouchable.
But he is a
guy
that
you're acting like.
He's a guy though that can put up. He's we've seen him put up multiple 50-point games. Like how
I've
many
seen
people?
Bradley Beal do that also.
Beal's averaging 33 points a game.
Exactly.
But he's also on a team that they're doing nothing. Like it's not like they're winning.
That don't
games.
Matter.
To me, the guy that's the piece that I would be willing to trade, and I think he's going to be a great player, and I think that the Nuggets haven't used him right. They seem to act like Michael Porter Jr. is untouchable.
Right.
I think that's the kind of gamble you have to make, and that I would make if you
okay.
can get. You know, it's Michael Porter Jr. and it's, you know, Gary Harris and Will Barton and those kind of guys. I that would be a push the chips in the middle of the table kind of move that I would be willing to make. I'd hate to do it.
Right.
Because I think Porter has a chance to be really, really special. But I'm tired of waiting for a year from now, 2 years from now. Like, let's do it now. Let's,
yeah.
let's figure out what the pieces are you need now to win with Jokic, Murray, and who. You know, when we're talking about the Western Conference standings and you see Phoenix at number two right now, that's what frustrates me is because they made moves. They saw that, hey, they didn't make the playoffs last year, but they went 8-0 in the bubble. They saw that their young players were developing, and they went and got Chris Paul.
Yep.
How good would the Nuggets be right now if Chris Paul was starting at point instead of
yeah.
Monte Morris?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm with you. I'm with you. Look, and a year ago, you couldn't tell me to trade Michael Porter Jr. No, 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 no. No chance. Not doing it. But now, yes. He's on the table. Murray's on the table. I mean, there's only one untouchable, and that's the Joker. That's it. That's it. End of story. So I do think the Nuggets, if they want to take that next step, you can't just sit here and just wait for Michael Porter Jr. forever. Just can't keep doing that. At some point, you got to get the guy that's proven now. And make that type of move now. Because, look, you look at the Lakers, they're down this year. Clippers are meh. You know, Suns, am I really a believer out there? Good squad. Jazz, look, I'd love to battle the Jazz again. Let's go. So it's kind of open. You know, and I understand the playoffs if the Lakers get back Anthony Davis and they got LeBron. I got it. But, man, you add Beal to Joker and Porter Jr. or Beal to Murray and Joker and trade Michael Porter Jr. or whatever else. I mean, that gets me excited. I think now we have a chance. As it stands now, you got no chance. You got no
yeah.
chance to come out the West. I mean, come on, you're fooling yourself if you think so. You just don't. I mean, they got hot last year and made a great run. It was fun to watch. But this year, you got no chance to do it again and to win the West and take that next step if you don't make a move. Now's the time to make a move. Go get you a guy like Bradley Beal if you can and be aggressive. I'm down with that.
Yeah, and I guess right now, Bradley Beal, he's better than Jamal Murray, but is he significantly better than Jamal Murray, right? Is it a big enough improvement that would make him a contender? Now, he is significantly better than Michael Porter Jr. right now. So that trade, if that was the key piece, you know, and you had Murray, you had Jokic and Bradley Beal, like that trio today is a better trio than what the Nuggets have. That makes him a contender. The other argument is to continue to be patient. Richard Jefferson, who spent some time here in Denver, he thinks Paul Pierce is wrong on this. He thinks patience is the plan for the Nuggets.
No. Like, respectfully to the Hall of Famer next to me, like, this is a patience moment, right? They have been progressing every single year. I understand they had to shorten off season. Jamal got off to a slow start. He's been playing well of late. Joker's playing at a high level. But ultimately, these guys are still like 25 years old. So your window for them to be great is still another 7-8 years.
Yes.
So, and Michael Porter Jr. is young. They got RJ Hampton on their bench. They, I like Zeke Nnaji. They have a ton of talent. So there's no, hey, when you look at the San Antonio Spurs over the Tim Duncan 20 years, there were years that they were first, there were years that they were seventh, there were years that they were eighth, there were years that they were third.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, there's going to be years where you have up and down. When you have talented young players, stay pat, because they're still in the postseason. They got off to a slow start, so this is patience.
Man.
Mm.
I hear him. I hear Paul Pierce. I hear him. No, that was Richard Jefferson.
Yeah.
I hear
yeah.
Richard Jefferson right there. I do. But that was my take with the Rockies.
Yeah.
And so I've been scarred by that, by telling you, James. That's what I told you. Let's be patient. Look at this young core. We're going to be able to keep this young core here for the next 8-10 years. I mean, don't we love Nolan and Trevor? And then, you know, we're going to add some pieces. And, you know, the outfield, you look at Charlie with David Dahl. And, mm-hmm. and the next thing you know, you look up in 2 years and it's bye-bye. So I don't like to look that far in the future anymore when it comes to, you know, this basketball team saying, okay, let's just wait. Let's wait next year, next year, next year. To me, man, especially in the NBA, especially in the NBA, things change so quickly. Look at the Brooklyn Nets. Look at them.
Yeah.
You know, from 2 years ago to where they are today. I mean, it's night and day. Now if you're picking a team to win it all, you're probably looking at that team saying it's them as the number one team to win it all. So the things change so quickly, and especially in the NBA. If you look, if you play the patience game, I think you end up losing out in the end. And on top of that, all your guys got to be happy with the situation and be content with being patient. Your best players do. Sometimes they get itchy, right? People start talking to them, whatever. I want to win now. I want out of here.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think you have to pick your spot. I think the Nuggets are at that point right now. You know, Paul Pierce, I think, you know, is Jamal Murray the guy to trade? I don't know, but I don't agree with Richard Jefferson. They just, you know, you wait this out and you got RJ Hampton and you got Zeke Nagy. Like, how far away are they from those two guys being, you know, the solid contributors on a night in, night out basis? 2-3 years? Like, by the time you wait that long, you know, Jokic could be upset. Murray could be upset. MPJ could say, hey, I'm tired of, you know, Michael Malone, you know, fucking me every time I make a mistake. I'm out of here.
And get me out.
Stoke, this team, back in 1994, and I know it's me being the old guy going to my way back machine.
94?
Right?
Wow.
But there was
graduating high school, man.
It was the year they upset the Sonics in the first round, right? And they had this young team, and it's Mutombo, and it's Lafonso Ellis, and it's Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, and
Chris Jackson.
They're going to be great for years to come. All right, well then, you know, Lafonso Ellis blows out his knee in the offseason playing pickup basketball. Mutombo leaves for nothing via free agency. Chris Jackson / Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf has the, you know, controversy where he won't stand for the anthem. They have to trade him away, and all of a sudden, like 2-3 years later, like, where'd it go? Where's this young team? And you're right. Like, you can't just sit around and wait for it forever. So I don't know what the trade is. I don't know if it's, you know, a Bradley Beal's centerpiece and Jamal Murray's a centerpiece and that's the way you go. I think it's this team needs, you know, they need somebody. They need somebody to be the third guy and be the third guy right now.
It can't be Murray and Nikola. Night in and night out.
Yeah.
And that's really it. And keep our fingers crossed that Michael Porter Jr. is the guy. It just can't be. Something's got to get, you know, added, subtracted. And maybe that's best for everybody. Because right now we've seen ups and downs. And it just, you know, it's certainly not going to be good enough this year. You gotta go for it. I think when you got that opportunity now, you gotta go for it because we don't know. And it doesn't seem like Murray and Nikola are the two guys that would be upset and want to force their way out of town, but you just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. And Michael Porter Jr. might be that guy. And at the same time, I'm looking at it saying, I probably don't blame you.
No, me either.
Because he's sitting there, like you said, and he's like, hey, I need more playing time. I need to get in the game. I need to get in the flow of things. I got a lot of talent, and I make one mistake, and I'm on the bench, and I'm in the doghouse, and this and that. So, I don't know. I just think you got to go for it when you have the opportunity. I learned the hard way. And I think with the Nuggets, you know, within reason, you're not going to give away everything, but within reason, if you got a chance to upgrade, you trade some of your younger guys, especially right now with the Nuggets, and you try to upgrade.
Yeah. If you can put together a deal that makes you a legit contender this year, I think you do it. I'm tired of waiting for tomorrow. That's kind of my thing with this team of, you know, we've been patient waiting for Jokic to develop and Murray to develop and kind of get to this point. But you at some point have to be bold. I think the time is to be bold is right now. So, I don't know what the exact deal is, but I lean toward Paul Pierce here and not Richard Jefferson. Hey, real quick, house cleaning item before we get out of here. Alex Smith was released yesterday by the Washington football team. That's the guy you and Zach have been pushing for as a veteran to come in here.
Yes.
He's now on the market. I think if they don't make a big move, you know, whether it was in the draft or for Deshaun Watson, I think Alex Smith is the ideal veteran to come in here and back up Drew Lock.
I love it. I mean, even if they make a move to bring in somebody else, unless it's a Trubisky or Andy Dalton, if you're going to go young quarterback, if you're going to go stay with Drew Lock, if you're going to draft one, that's what I mean when I say young quarterback. If you're going to draft one or just stay with Drew Lock, then you know Alex Smith is a perfect pro to go in that locker room, go in that quarterback room, and help those young guys out and be a pro and be someone they can lean on and really help them. And that's a very valuable piece in when you look at developing a quarterback. And I think it's overlooked a lot, and I think that quarterback room with the Broncos could use a guy like that. We don't want Alex Smith to play. Don't need him to play. We're not looking for him to come be the starter or anything like that. Oh, if you need him to, I think it was 4-5-1 last year. He can do that for you. But that's not what we're looking for. You're looking for somebody to help and help develop your young quarterbacks, and Alex Smith would be the perfect guy.
So I sold you on teams needing to push all their chips in the middle of the table and be bold. You sold me on Alex Smith. See? I mean,
how about that?
Now, look,
I'm not about trading my young guys for a rental, though. Not in the Nugget situation. I don't know what Bradley Beal's contract looks like, but if it's just a rental,
I'm
not on board with that because the Nuggets do have a good thing going. So it's got to be, you know, a 3-year type of thing where we're looking at Bradley Beal for the next 3 years. If not, I'm not in it for you know a 3-4 month rental.
Yep, I'm 100% with you on that. Hey Stoke, this was a ton of fun. It was the late call to the bullpen. Always excited to jump in fill in for Zach. It was a good time today.
Had a blast, James. Thanks so much. It flew by. Had so much fun. Hadn't had this much fun in a long time doing radio, buddy. Thank you.
All right, man.
Have a great weekend, everybody out there. Have a great one, man. It's going to be perfect.
Get out and enjoy it. Have a good weekend, and keep it right here. The Drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.